Well, I want to welcome you today for the final segment of our study on the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. This is the 21st message that we've looked at through this. We've talked about, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? We talked about a life without the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about meeting the Holy Spirit, this person, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. We talked about why the flesh is so powerful. We talked about the illumination of the Spirit, the discernment of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And now we're closing with the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is gratitude, thanksgiving. And so we're going to begin today with part two. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. And if you'll turn your Bible over to the book of Philippians, that'll be our first passage that we'll look at today as we work our way through. Our Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this study. Thank you so much for the privilege you've given me to be able to preach it and teach it in so many different locations around this country by the means of the internet, the USBs, the radio broadcasts. I just glorify you. I pray that I have, Lord. I pray I've honored you and lifted you up. And bless us in the word, every listener, every precious friend that's taken the time to study the word of God. I pray your blessings upon them. And help us today as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how do you recognize someone filled with the Holy Spirit? Remember Joseph Parker, they asked him, they says, what is it? Is it a powerful orator? Is it speaking in tongues? Is it slain in the Spirit? Is it, what is it? And he says, well, let me tell you what the Bible says. And that's what you always ought to be doing. The attitude of thanksgiving is the very heartbeat of a Spirit-filled, controlled life. Amen. And that is so true. Now, we talked about, number one, the control of the Holy Spirit results in gratitude. We looked at Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. And the second one, we talked about a commitment to God's Word results in gratitude, that the Word of God dwells in us richly, produces gratitude, Colossians 3, 16 through 17. And then we talked about a peaceful heart results in gratitude from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Now, we're going to pick up with the fourth principle, a prayerful life results in gratitude and thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 6. He says, now be careful for nothing. I'm using the King James Version. I've used it for about 60 years, so I'm used to it. I was raised around my family teaching Bible verses in it when I was a little kid, and so I still love it. And, of course, the New King James Version will take the these and the thous and put that in our current language, the you and yours and so forth. And I do that pretty much when I'm just reading out of the King James Version. But listen to verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means don't be filled with anxiety. Don't be worrying and fretting. But what? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, prayer is asking, basically, you're asking for yourself. God, would you do this? Would you help me, God? Supplication is asking for others. Supplicating for your family, for your friends, for your country. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I had a fellow that said, I don't even know if God hears us. Sure, he hears us. He said, well, I don't know that he answers my prayers. Sure, he does. Now, God answers prayers in three ways. Sometimes it's wait. The time's not right. But you keep praying. You keep looking to God. You be like that little widow. You bring your request to the Lord and lay them prayer and requests. Be made known unto him. And sometimes it's no. God says, nope, this is not good for you. This is not what I want. This is not in my will. No, we don't do that. And other times it's yes. Sometimes it's immediate yes. Sometimes it's a waiting yes. But God is a God who answers prayer. So everywhere we turn spiritually, we see this truth. You see, all through the Bible, I've been showing you, with thanksgiving, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Any kind of prayer is to be mixed with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving is to be attached and mixed to every prayer that you make. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, that you ask with thanksgiving. Praying for something with thanksgiving, praising for what God has done with thanksgiving, interceding for someone with thanksgiving, that you know I've got a prayer book that's about an inch and a half thick, and I pray through it every morning after I read my Bible and a couple other books about the Bible. And then I get in my prayer book and I pray, and I'm interceding for many people, and I've seen tens of thousands of prayers answered. That God answers prayer and God takes care of our needs. See, you can be the watchman for your church, the watchman on the wall that God talks about, and watching for your nation with prayer and thanksgiving. All of them bring the response of thanksgiving. You said, Brother David, I just get so upset with our culture. I do too. I mean, I love Psalm 37, and I read that, don't you fret over evildoers, and then God gives you five things you are to do. And I read that regularly, and I pray that God will save the lost, those that are hard-hearted and mean and evil, that God would rebuke them. God would lift up righteous leaders, and thank God that He's in control. Have you ever seen these automatic bread makers? You know, we had one given as a gift. Turns out beautiful loaves of bread, all kind of bread recipes. Raisins, put in the raisins, have raisin bread. Put cinnamon in there, you got cinnamon raisin bread. You put garlic, you got garlic bread to eat with spaghetti and Italian dishes. Sugar and spice, you get spice bread. But listen to me, you better not forget the main thing. What's that? Flour. You can put some flour and some butter and some milk. But the basic ingredient for all bread is flour. Gratitude is to be mixed with all of our prayers. That we come and we thank God for what He's done and what He's doing in our trust. It's the basic ingredients. If you sense a bitter spirit, a complaining attitude, an ingratitude, you better check your heart. Because you grieve in the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Spirit and His work in your life right there while He does some discipline work in your heart and in your life. So we want to have that evidence of gratitude in our prayer life, amen? As we love Him and honor Him and praise Him as we serve Him. All right, now, the fifth thing that we're looking at is the desire for God's will results in gratitude. A desire for God's will results in gratitude. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Listen. Now, he's given this wonderful list of things for us to do. Verse 15, don't render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good. Verse 17, rejoice evermore. 17, pray without ceasing. And here's the verse I want to pull. In everything, listen, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything gives thanks. That's God's will. A Spirit-filled Christian who is concerned about the will of God must be concerned about gratitude. But he says, this is the will of God. Boy, what a clear statement. Amen? Now, would you like a statement that clear on other areas of your life? That you could say, this is the will of God. Well, you say, well, who am I going to marry? And boy, God said, do this and be thankful for it. Marry this one and be thankful for it. I prayed, the Lord spoke to my heart about Sue, that this is the one. And this is, and I sat and I told her. She, I don't know what she thought about it. We've been married 54 years, so worked out pretty good. This is the will of God that you say, Lord, where do I go to college? And God, if God just sit there, this is will God go to so-and-so. This is God's will, take this job. You want to know the will of God? Be thankful. That's what the Word of God just told us. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning what? You. Be thankful. Gratitude is the will of God for your life. If you're not grateful, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not filled with God's Word. You're out of God's will. Listen, God describes a life sliding into chaos and confusion, into darkness, not walking in the light. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 1, that everybody ought to sit down and ought to read that chapter again and again. But listen to me. Romans chapter 1, 21 and 22. Listen. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Listen to this. Neither were thankful, but became vain, empty, profitless in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. See, the evidence of a downward slide is unthankfulness. If you look at your Bible, you can see where a heart of ingratitude and unthankfulness leads. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen, verses 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. They're all around us. We're living in the last days. For men should be lovers of their own selves. Isn't that true? Covetous, greedy, just for themselves. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Listen to this. Unthankful. Unthankful, unholy. Now, listen to that. Write that across your heart. Ingratitude is conformable with this whole list of sins. The Holy Spirit cuts right to the heart. When you're filled with God, you're filled with God's own Spirit, gratitude will flow from your life. A changed attitude from the world. It's supernatural evidence to those that are around you, to you also, that the Spirit of God is in you and it is working in your life. You know, God's Word is extremely, extremely practical. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, we all know people who say they love God but are ugly in spirit. They're bitter, like the woman I talked about last week. Mean-spirited, divisive, selfish. So the carnal Christian lives like the unsaved man. You can be saved and born again, but you're not spirit-filled. You're not yielded to the Holy Spirit. You say, how can this be if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God? See, your life should be filled with a sweet gratitude, clean to your core. Wherever somebody punches you, that's what bubbles out. Amen? I want you to look with me again at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 as we're looking at this wonderful Word of God and all the truth. What a Bible. What a splendid, wonderful opportunity God has given us to have our own Bible. And we've given so many times and invested in missionaries producing the Bible in the language of the people that they've ministered to. It's always been a highlight for Sue and I. And I've got copies in my library of so many Bibles that have been translated by these missionaries who were graduates of Tennessee Temple. and that Sue and I have had the wonderful privilege to invest with them in printing these Bibles to get them the Word of Almighty God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Remember? It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father. Now, that's hard sometimes. You may be having a difficult time in your life. You've got problems that you're facing that are causing you to struggle, but you know God loves you. You know God cares. I remember sitting with my brother. My brother had pancreatic cancer, and the doctors there in Montgomery had given up. And he called me. He said, "Dave, would you and Sue be willing to go with us out to Houston to that big hospital that just specializes in this pancreatic cancer for me to get a second opinion?" And I said, "Sure, we'd be happy to." And so we went by, and I got he and his wife a ticket. I said, "You two fly out, and Sue and I are going to drive out so we have a car. We'll be there at the airport when you land. We'll pick you up. I'll have hotel rooms ready so we can go take you to the hotel," because he was weak. But I could see he was encouraged just because we were looking into this. And he and I talked. He was my youngest brother, and 15 years younger than I am. He's in heaven right now today. But we went into the hospital, and these specialists came in, and he had brought all his reports, and they looked at the report, and they said, "We'd like to run a couple of tests." And so they ran a couple of tests, and we came in and met with the doctor, a young lady from India, a sweet young lady and brilliant. And she told him, she said, "Greg, we've looked at the reports. What your doctors told you were true. There's no need for us to do anything else. There's nothing we can do. And what you need to know is this is one of the fastest moving cancers ever. And you don't have months to live. You may have weeks. But you need to go home and get everything ready." And I can remember him looking at the doctor, and he said, "That's shocking news. I mean, we're all just, you know, it just punches you in the gut." And he looked at the doctor, and he said, "Ma'am, we're all Christians. We all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is no surprise to him. And when I leave this world, I'm going to heaven. I'm God." And he shared with us how he had been saved as a young man and washed in the blood and shared the scriptures with her. And it was just such a sweet, sweet thing. And she listened to it all. She wasn't a Christian. And he said, I still remember, he said, I'm thankful for everything God has done for me. And I'm thankful that in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go home and be with the Lord." Well, it wasn't a couple of weeks. It was 8 days. We got back in and went back in and sat by his bed and talked to him. And he sang. We were gathered around his bed, and he sang, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than wealth untold." And 8 days from that point, he had left this old world to be absent of the body and be present with the Lord. But the gratitude in his heart for what Jesus Christ had done for him. Amen. And what he does for each one of us. Colossians chapter 3, another precious verse. Verse 17, I read it to you, I'm going to read it to you again. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen. "Giving thanks to God and the Father by him." See, Paul wrote Ephesians and Colossians, these two verses, both books, but these two verses leap out in all things be thankful always, and all things give thanks to the name of the Lord. He wrote it in chains, waiting to be executed. But his heart was full of gratitude. You don't need dying grace till you're dying. I've heard a lot of people say, man, I just worry about it so much. I said, no need to worry about it yet. You're not dying yet. When you get ready to die, the Holy Spirit of God come in and give you wonderful, wonderful peace. You know, I've had heart conditions, and I've had cancer, and had a lot of stuff. I've been in the home invasion in Argentina with my hands and feet tied, Sue and I both, a bag over our head, a 45 up against our temple, expecting to be shot and killed. I told Sue, it won't hurt. We'll be in heaven before we know it. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21 all the way down through verse 28, lists all the trials that this man went through. Listen, verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein any is bold, I'm speaking foolish, I'm bold also. Are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak foolishly, bragging on himself. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, being beaten with whips, in prison, more frequent, in deaths often. But the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save 139 stripes. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils in water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. And beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Boy, Paul's life gave off a fragrance of gratitude. You can almost smell that sweet savor coming out of the Bible. How do you explain that, Brother David? The Holy Spirit, the indwelling, the fullness, the fruit of the Spirit, a sense of victory, a sense of triumph. See, we learn how to count our blessings instead of our crosses. We learn how to count our gains instead of our defeats. We learn to count our joys and not our woes. We learn to count our friends, not our foes. And we learn to count on God and not ourselves. The Holy Spirit fills us with a deep gratitude for himself. Let me read you. I've told you I've been reading from Donald Gray Barnhouse's book of Romans. And as he's closing out chapter 1 on page 301, He closes the chapter talking about the grace of God. I want to read it to you. One of the sweetest things, listen. One of the saintliest of all English reformers, John Bradford, saw a murderer carried off to die. It was he who said, There but for the grace of God, go I. The reformer John Bradford. Now listen. To those who have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we present him again as the greatest manifestation of the grace of God. It is because he came that even you, in the midst of this civilization which is so corrupt in its heart, have many of the common graces that surround you. The corruptness, yet God's common grace surrounds you. It is he whose mercy still calls you, and whose hand is outstretched to save you. It is he who bids you come and who shines his light upon the path he wishes you to take. Do not neglect that light, lest you go on to reject the light. Today is still the day of salvation. Today, the Savior calls to you. And to those of you who have believed that Jesus is the eternal God, made flesh to save us, who have thrown yourself on His grace as manifested at the cross, I beseech you that you walk in the light of His Word, which He has left for us. Begin by admitting all that He has said about the depth of your own heart, and ask Him to dredge those depths in order that He may fill you with Himself, and give to you the ever-fresh graces of the presence of the Holy Spirit to illuminate and to guide you. For it is in the measure that you yield to the life of God through the cross of Christ and in the Holy Spirit that you shall grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that not a wow? I mean, that marvelous man used of God to teach the Word of God and glorify His name. Let the Holy Spirit of God take over your life. Let Him be the president and the resident of your life to lead you for the glory of Almighty God. Amen. Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful privilege to share with you this study on the Holy Spirit, and I pray that it's encouraged your heart and grown you. I pray that there are many that have been saved in understanding the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, until the next study, I really don't know what it is yet. I'm going to spend time on my face before the Lord and seek Him. And all the years that I've served Him, He always said, "All right, David, here's where we go next." And that's where we'll go. And I just pray the Lord will bless you and use you, and that He may richly, richly dwell in your heart with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And it's a joy to fellowship with you in the Word. And until the next time, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.